So, I would like to say a brief prayer before I start. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity that you have given to us this morning to gather together as East Kilo Evangelical Fellowship. We thank you, Almighty God, for giving us this time, and thank you, Lord, for the time at the Lord's table, and thank you, Almighty God, for allowing us to have this communion, to have this fellowship. And thank you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, as I speak, from Hebrews chapter 4, help me to speak your words. And Lord, be with me as I speak. And help us, Almighty God, together learn the truths from this part of the scripture. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. So, as I was looking at this chapter, as Brother Deva rightly pointed out during announcements, that it is more about rest. So I looked in the dictionary, what does it mean by the word rest? So sometimes it is referred to as sleep and freedom from activity or work, a state of motionlessness or inactivity, and falling sleep of death. Or you can say a place for resting or lodging. It's also referred to peace of mind or spirit. And very interestingly, it also says to remain confident or trust. So I think this one, the last one, is very, very pertinent to today's message. To remain confident and to have that trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. So as I was thinking about this passage, incidentally, I think today or tomorrow, I can't exactly say, but it is All Saints' Day. So people from other denominations, they go out to the cemeteries and they pay respects to the people they passed away in their families. And so, if you happen to visit a cemetery, you would notice on a hundreds of gravestones, it is written like, "He entered into rest on such and such a day," which means he died on such and such a day. So, usually the term entering into rest is used when to describe the death of a person. But it is interesting in this passage of scripture, the writer of this epistle, Hebrews, he painstakingly says that this rest that I'm talking about, or the writer talking about, is not about the eternal rest, but the rest, believer's rest, which we can experience in this life while we are living. So please note that point. This rest is believer's rest that we are talking about, which we experience while we are living. And also, if I just explored a little bit more about these things, there is a rest of the body. So our body rests at some point, that is in the grave. So it rests from the work, from the labor, from disease, from all sorts of hardships. The body rests when a person dies. And this body is under the guardianship of the spirit. Body is in the guardianship of the spirit until the day of resurrection, until when the Lord appears in the clouds. And there is a rest of the soul. As body rests when the person dies, there is a rest for the soul before the resurrection, in the arms of Christ. As a person dies, the soul immediately, if he is a believing person, the soul immediately departs from the body and goes straight to the arms of Lord Jesus Christ. That is the great hope that we have in the present day. So there is, so now we talked about rest of the body under the guardianship of the Spirit. We talked about the rest of the soul in the arms of Jesus. Now we talk about rest of the body and soul after the resurrection. So after the resurrection, that is after the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ on the clouds, both body and soul, they are united, and so they are in rest from sin and from Satan's temptations and from unbelief. All these things no longer are influencing this soul and body after resurrection. So which is a wonderful place to be. And so that place is called eternal rest or the rest of God, because He is the author and giver of this rest. So we have talked about rest of the body, we have talked about the rest of the soul, we talked about rest of the body and soul after resurrection, when this body and soul is free from sin, free from doubt, free from all kinds of things that affect us in this present world. And that rest is called eternal rest, that is the final rest. But of course, when we call it believer's rest, that is not, we are not talking about that eternal rest in this passage. And also I would like to remind you that please do not confuse this believer's rest with salvation. We are not talking about salvation here. Salvation is given. We are already saved. But this believer's rest is in addition to the salvation. This rest is promised in addition to the salvation of our souls. So this whole passage that we have read today between Hebrews chapter 4 verses 1 to 11, this is all centered around a historical incident that happened to the Israelites when they were in the desert, when they were in the wilderness, when they were guided, led by Moses and God Himself in the form of pillar of cloud in the daytime, in the form of pillar of fire in the nighttime. God Himself guided them from the land of Egypt, from their bondage to the promised land. But during this time, just before entering into the promised land, they sent some spies, one person from each tribe. You know this story, but I'm just briefly mentioning. And this, each spy went out into the promised land, that is Canaan. And then they come back with the news of about that land. And among these spies that were sent, there were two whom we adore. One is Joshua, the son of Nun, and another is Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. So these two guys, Joshua and Caleb, were also there among those spies. And then when they came back, apart from Joshua and Caleb, rest of the 10 spies brought bad news. News of discouragement, saying that we found all giant people and they are so tall, we looked puny when we stood beside them. And all those kinds of disappointing things. And the people of Israel, they rebelled against God, after listening to these 10 spies, in spite of Joshua and Caleb saying, yes, by the power of the Lord, we can go and occupy the land. But these people went with the majority and rebelled against God. That is when God himself said that famous verses that are there. It says, "So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." That is what he said to the people of Israel. He was referring to those who did not believe in his mighty power, that they can go and occupy the land of Canaan. He said to those unbelievers, and those unbelievers did not enter into the promised land. This promised land, why we are referring to this in this particular chapter, is it is a metaphor for the rest that God has promised. So the Israelites, they are wandering, they are homeless, they are stateless in the desert, and then God has promised Canaan, the promised land, as the resting place. That is a metaphor for our own lives, that God is promising a rest for us. Of course, there is eternal rest, but we are talking about rest that is within this lifetime. And so, these people who did not believe, they did not enter into the Canaan, because God has declared in his anger that they will not enter into my rest, which these people who did not believe, they perished in the desert. So this is the story that is behind this chapter 4 of the Hebrews. So the metaphor is, people of Israel were wandering in the desert, in the wilderness, after they left Egypt, and God promised the promised land of Canaan, which is the place of rest for them at that time, and that is a metaphor that is being given to us as an illustration to say that God has intended to provide us rest, as he provided rest to the people of Israel in Canaan. He provides us rest as believers in believers' rest. So let us go on into the scripture now. Verse 1, which says, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it." Gospel Church is represented as a state of peace and rest, which is based on the peace with God by faith and through the shedding of his precious blood, Lord Jesus Christ, which rightly Brother Deva pointed out at the Lord's table, saying that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has shed his precious blood and brought us peace with God. We no longer fear the wrath of God. And so the gospel period after the advent of Christ is referred to as a state of peace and rest. Because if you imagine that we no longer fear the wrath of God, and also if you imagine for Hebrew people, when they were following these, all the laws and the ordinances and the ceremonial laws that they were following each day to satisfy various aspects of their life, they were burdened by these. And then the gospel that Lord Jesus Christ has brought has revolutionized their lifestyle, because they no longer has to worry about various things. They do worry every day. They can concentrate on spiritual aspects of the religion rather than material aspects of the religion. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that we have promise left to us of entering into the rest. What is this entering into the rest means? to enter into the covenant relationship with Christ, and a state of communion with God through Christ, and of growing up there till we are made perfect in glory. So the journey between after we have been saved and then entering into glory, the journey in between, that's where this rest comes into play. This promise of spiritual rest is a promise left to us by our Lord Jesus Christ in his last will and testament as a precious legacy. So, as believers, our business is to see to it that we be the recipients so that we should claim this rest that God has promised to, Jesus has promised to us. This rest and freedom from the dominion of sin, Satan, and the flesh, by which the souls of men are kept in bondage and deprived of the true rest of the soul. So if we do not claim this rest, we have a potential chance that we still are under the domain of parts of the sin, Satan, and the flesh. The gospel rest also sets us free from, as I mentioned earlier, from the law and the toilsome ceremonies and services associated with it. So that is about the first verse, which says that there is a rest. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. So what it says is, there is a rest that is promised by Lord Jesus Christ, and let us be diligent in claiming that rest so that we can lead lives which will grow spiritually, and it can lead us to the perfect and everlasting rest in heaven. And then second verse is, for we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. So just as we are being preached of the gospel by which we believed in Jesus and then came into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and saving grace, and in those times when the Jewish people were in the wilderness, they were preached gospel. This gospel is preached in a different way, but same Jesus, the type of Jesus has been preached. The word that is preached through Moses in the form of those ceremonies, in the form of those laws, some of which we clearly depict the type of Jesus Christ. So they have been preached the good news, but many of them, they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. So there was some issue here. The gospel was preached to the Israelites in the wilderness in the ministry of Moses. The reason for ineffectiveness or unprofitability of this word is the word is not being mixed with the faith when they heard it. So we can say many things when we preach or when we speak the word of God, when we dispense the word of God. But the hearer must mix the word with the faith. And then the word becomes live, and that's how it becomes efficacious in the life of us, in our lives. So when the Israelites, some of them, they did not fully believe in the gospel that was preached at that time, That is the reason why they failed to enter into the promised land. So, similarly, if we do not believe fully the existence of gospel rest, then it won't be possible for us to enter into it. Even though God has freely given us and left us as a legacy, if we don't claim that rest, we won't have the faith in that rest. We may not be able to get into that rest. So that is what it is said in verse 2. We have been proclaimed good news, but we need to trust, believe in what we have been told. Now move on to the verse 3. I would like to go 3, 4, 5 together. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And again in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. So again, he is saying in verse 3 that if you believe, you will enter into that rest. Only those who believe, they enter into that rest. From God's proposing canon as a typical rest for the Jews who believed, and as those who did believe, Caleb and Joshua did actually enter into canon. So those who believed, they entered into canon. But those who didn't believe, they didn't enter into canon, the promised land. Same way, those who believe among us, they enter into this rest that he has promised. So the writer of the Hebrews argues that the rest referred to is not related to God's rest from the works of creation. So here, what the writer is trying to communicate to us is the rest that you are talking, that God has spoken, that through Psalm 95:11, so I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. These two lines, first quoted in Numbers chapter 14, but later spoken through David in Psalm 95. If you look at Psalm 95 verse 11, actually Psalm 95 does not say that the author is David, but what is traditionally believed is any psalm that doesn't have author on it is written by David. That is being believed in the tradition. So they shall never enter my rest. So these two lines are picked from Psalm 95 verse 11. So these are spoken at different times. The rest, seventh day rest is spoken in Genesis, which refers to God taking rest on seventh day after he created everything. He took rest from the creative activity. That is one rest that is referred to is in the beginning, that is in Genesis. But again in Numbers 14, God said, to those who do not believe among the Jewish people, said that those who do not believe, they will not enter into my rest. That is the rest of Canaan, the promised land. And again, he says in Psalms, you know how much time elapses in between those? More than 2,500 years. Because the time elapsed between from the Genesis to the time of David, more than 2,500 years. When he talked about the Sabbath rest in Genesis, and when he proved David the time gap is more than 2,500 years. So what the author is trying to tell us here is the rest that is mentioned in Psalm 95 verse 11 does not refer to the rest of seventh day, that rest that God took on the seventh day after he completed the creation. And the rest that is mentioned in 95:11, Psalm 95:11, is the rest which is promised to the believers. And now, so between verses 3, 4, and 5, what we learned here is that the writer or author of the Hebrews is arguing that the rest that is mentioned here, they shall never enter my rest, is not the rest that is connected to the seventh day. And let us move on to verse 6. Therefore, since it will still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden his heart. So again, we are basing the writer of Hebrews is basing his argument on David's writing in Psalm 95, chapter 95, wherein he says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So, because this rest, some of them have entered in the canon, and that is one rest that is a earthly rest, that is the promised land and the Israelites. All that illustration that is given to us from Numbers is the earthly rest that God has given us as a metaphor, as an example, as an illustration to us. But when David said they will not enter into the rest in Psalm 95, now we are going into another rest which still God has not given to his people. This another rest that we are talking about is related to our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is what we are learning here. So therefore, since still there is there remains for some to enter that rest. So that rest people have not entered at the time of David. So God prophetically through David, he is saying that I will appoint another day. I have appointed another day when you hear, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So because that rest was not given, God prophetically speaking through David to expect another day. So, since the seventh day of creation was a day of rest which God entered into, and not man, and since the land of Canaan was a typical rest, typical means it is just an illustration to us, which the unbelieving Israelites did not enter into because of unbelief, and yet there must be persons and there must be a time for them to enter into the true rest which God has left a promise of. So to fulfill that promise, he has fixed and appointed a certain day, and this day is today. this day is not a day of the week, but this day is a period, which is the gospel dispensation period. So the appointed day is now. So if you read there, if you hear his voice today, that today is this period in which we are living. So the timeline, again I say, how much different they were. 2500 years from the first seventh day, means when God created the earth and everything in it, 2500 years from the seventh day to the time of Moses, and then 500 years from the time of Moses to Joshua to David. So from Moses to David, another 500 years passed. And after 500 years, means total of 3000 years, again he is saying, if today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So I will give you another opportunity, guys. I will give you another opportunity. And when I give that opportunity, do not harden your hearts. So this particular line is for us, the believers. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So let us move on to verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, see, still the author is trying to argue about various things. For if Joshua had given them the rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. So again, coming back to the same point, the rest that God talked about in Numbers 4:14, when he said, you will not enter into the rest, those unbelievers. It is different from the rest that David spoke about. So if Joshua really gave them the rest, God would not have talked about another day of rest. So clearly, Joshua has not given that full measure of rest that God prepared in advance. Even though Joshua led the Israelites into Canaan, it was not the real rest that God intended to offer to his followers. The ultimate spiritual rest that Jesus offered to his followers. So again, saying, repeating what I said, if the rest that was offered by Joshua was the ultimate rest, then God would not have spoken of another day in David's time and by him. So when you read this day, meaning not any particular day of the week, but the whole gospel dispensation in the times of the Messiah, that is the reason why the writer continues in verse 9. We read verse 9 and 10. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, or anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. So he continues on to say, he has now proved that the rest that was spoken about when Canaan rest is different from the rest that David talked about in the Psalm 95. And so this rest is to be claimed by the believers, which us need to claim. So that is the gist of what we have learnt until now. But verses 9 and 10 are a little bit more critical. Please follow me here. These are critical verses. So here he is telling, just as God did from his. If we read here, from anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Here he is comparing two rests. It is very cryptic verses. The verse 9 is talking about Jehovah, who took rest on the day 7 when completed the creation. Verse 10 is talking about Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ accomplished his works, he rested from all the works. When did he rest? When did he rest from all the works of salvation? When Jesus Christ raised on the third day, and then he appeared to many of his believers, and then he ascended into heaven. As again we are reminded in our Lord's Supper, that Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So when Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and then seated at the right hand of God, that is when he went into the rest. Rest means, don't think that for God it is rest means he's doing nothing. No, he rested from the works of salvation, but he has got many other works to do. So, as Jesus said himself when he was on this earth, my Father never stops working. That's what he said. My Father never stops work. So, he's always at work. So, that's what it is about God. So, when we say the rest in terms of God, we are specifically specifying that particular activity. When we say God rested on the seventh day, he rested only in regards to creative activity. And then here, when Jesus took rest, means he is in rest. He is in rest only that he is not doing any more activities related to salvation, particularly those of preaching the gospel when he was on this earth, those of carrying the cross and going up to the cross. All those are completed, finished, and done and dusted, and he is seated at the right hand of God. So he is at rest now. And also, just remember, when we say that he is seated at the right hand of God, sitting is always referred to as resting. Because if you remember, if you glance back your memory to the Leviticus, the high priest in Leviticus always stands and performs his ceremonies. Every time you see in Leviticus, he has to stand and do. He stood all the day almost in certain days. So that is implying, standing implies that unfinished work, whereas seated at the right hand implies that completed work. So Jesus is at rest. That rest to which Jesus is now in is the source of believers' rest in this world even now. So that is what we are talking about here. So verse 9 implies the rest of Jehovah after the creation. And then the verse 10 tells about Jesus Christ. God rest, anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. When they say God did from his, that God is Jesus. And so that is about 9 and 10, 11. Let us therefore make every effort to enter the rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. So this is what the writer wants us to say. See, dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, dear believers, there God has promised a rest to the believers, which he has prophesied through David in Psalm 95 verse 11. That rest is still there. So you take claim of that rest while you can. So let us, and also he says, make effort, let us labor to enter into the rest. This rest needs some effort. Gospel rest is here meant that rest which believers now enter into, and is at this present time for them. So another interesting thing about this gospel rest that believers enter is this rest they will not enter fully at this time. This rest is entered in degrees or increments. Each person, for example, I know in my spirit, I know that in our church, all our members, most of our members, they are experiencing the rest that God has promised. That is the gospel rest, the rest of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are all experiencing it. But what the difference is, each person will have a different stages of rest. As we trust more Lord Jesus Christ, as it is being nicely sung by our sister Vanessa, that walk closer with the Lord. As we walk closer with the Lord, the closer we go, the higher we go in terms of this rest. The closer we are, the closer we move with Jesus, the more rest we experience. So each person will be in different levels in this spectrum of taking in the restful position. So our positions, even though we are all in gospel's rest, experiencing this rest, but we are in different levels. That's what just to remind you. And also please remember when it is said here that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. So he is also warning us that there is a chance that you won't enter into this rest. True believers may fall into sin, and from a degree of the exercise of grace and of the steadfastness of the gospel. So we may fall into the sin, but they cannot finally and totally fall away because they are kept by the power of God. That is what, when a person is saved, God allows and God provides strength, and God will raise that person up even though he falls. So but yet remember, one may fall as to come short, or at least seem to have come short of enjoying the rest and peace of the gospel state. So there is a chance that believers can stay in a place in their faith that they are not experiencing the rest. They are still believers, saved, but they are not experiencing the marvelous rest that God has promised here. So as I was meditating on this chapter, before I close, I have to close here. So I just would like to say last and final thing is this particular rest, the source. We have seen that this source, one of the sources that I said to you, the source of this rest is that Lord Jesus himself is in rest because he completed his activities seated at the right hand of God. The another source is the words of Jesus himself. Let me remind you from Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30, and then I will close or wind up. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Matthew, Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for my soul, for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. So he has, when he was on this earth, he himself called out, come to me and I will give you the rest. And take my yoke and see that it is light. When he said take my yoke, don't think that he is giving you additional work. in the first place, before we are saved, we are on the yoke of sin and the death and the wrath of God. That yoke is much heavier than the yoke that Jesus Christ is going to give us. And that yoke that Jesus Christ is giving us is not yoke that he has not experienced. He himself had that yoke upon him when he lived on this earth. So he is offering us that yoke so that we can work with him. And also we can get that rest that he has promised. So I will summarize what we learned today. What we have learned today is that there is believer's rest, which is different from the eternal rest or Sabbath rest, seventh day when God rested. The source of this rest is from the fact that Jesus is resting from his works and seated at the right hand of God. The rest is a legacy from our Lord, and we need to claim this rest, to put effort to gain this rest. We need to claim it, gain it, enjoy it. Be watchful. There is a possibility that some of the followers of Christ, some of us, may not enter into that rest because of their little faith or unbelief in this rest. We have also seen root scriptures for this rest in Jesus' own words in Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Thank you, Lord Jesus.